I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the darkness. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in a far-dyed key. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in for that key. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yeah, when you run down my country, excuse me, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And, of course, those are the European founding settler people, the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Now, I'm recording this on Monday, the 13th of May, and just finished a very intense whirlwind tour with South African videographer Jan Lamprecht. Jan is a South African, actually he's born in Rhodesia, grew up in Rhodesia, came to South Africa as a young man. Was in the IT business for many years and became politically aware about 20 years ago and has put out a great number of extremely good political videos, many of them dealing with military history, World War II. And he has just the most amazing 2.5-hour presentation on the hidden history of South Africa, of Southern Africa. The history of the last 50 years and a great many things. I must say I'm quite well informed. I've been to South Africa 3 times, and there's a great deal I learned from his lectures. you can find an interview I did with him. In fact, that was our last show recorded on Saturday. In our tour, we spoke in 5 cities: Toronto, Hamilton, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Penticton in British Columbia. But we did 3 meetings in Vancouver. So 7 talks, 5 cities, and a number of videos that we did. It was really intense, and it was a good time. Lots happening, and lots of it having to do with censorship. And this is something we have to be very aware of. I've spoken about this before, and I'm afraid I'll probably have to speak about it again. Here's an item from Breitbart. Facebook shuts down pro-populist Italian pages before the European Union elections. I find this, unfortunately, we're going to see more of this, and we are in a war. Let's be quite clear about this. Here's the story. Facebook has shut down 23 major populist Italian pages with 2.5 million followers just 2 weeks before the European elections. According to Italian media, the majority of the pages supported the populist parties La Lega, or the League of the North, or the Five Star Movement, which is kind of left-wing populist, M5S, who currently govern Italy in a temporary coalition. Facebook has identified its dramatic move by claiming, has justified its dramatic move by claiming that the sites shared fake news, so-called hate speech, and divisive content regarding immigrants, vaccines, Jews. Listen to the insanity of this, that they contain divisive content. Well, what's divisive content? Well, I assume it means, if the words mean anything, content that might divide people. You know, wherever I make a statement of, let's say, I don't believe in climate change is caused by human activity, well, that's divisive, I guess. Some people say, oh, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. You're upsetting me. Divisive content, it's almost impossible not to have divisive content unless you say, I agree with everybody. Yeah, of course, that's insane. How can you agree with everybody? I mean, because people disagree. This is the nature of this dictatorship. It contains so-called hate speech. What's hate speech? Is there a legal definition of that? No. Hate speech is a term used to indicate that the speaker hates something that was said by somebody else. That's hate speech. It doesn't tell me anything about what was actually said. It just indicates to me that somebody, the person making that charge, hates whatever was said. Contains divisive content regarding immigrants. Oh, yeah. So if you think, say, I don't think Italy should be radically changed by hordes of people coming in from Africa, well, that's divisive. And Jewish people, we don't even know what the comments were. Now, this is done by Facebook. The story continues. Facebook used information from a report produced by a left progressive NGO, that's a non-governmental organization, AVAZ, that's A-V-A-A-Z, which deals with human rights and environmental campaigns. Quote, we thank AVAZ for sharing its research so we could investigate, said a Facebook spokesman. We are committed to protecting the integrity of the European Union elections and around the world. We've removed a series of false and duplicate accounts that violated our policies on the subject of authenticity, as well as several pages for violation of the policy of changing the name. We have also taken action against some pages that have repeatedly spread misinformation. We will take further actions if we find other violations. we're gonna shut everybody up that the left disagrees with. And then, of course, we know that Facebook shut down a number of American patriots, including John Paul Paul Joseph Watson. In its report, which was presented to Facebook on May 3rd, AVAZ said it identified 14 Italian networks on Facebook comprising 104 pages and 6 groups with a reach of a total of 18.2 million members. I mean, it's incredible what they are trying to shut down. This week, Facebook took punitive action against 23 pages in these networks with a total of 2.46 million followers. Facebook has also reportedly weakened pages that spread content with allegedly false news, presumably making them less visible to Facebook users. The technical motivation for the closing of the pages is linked to name changes. It is claimed that they initially suggested themes that did not seem to allude to political parties or movements, but later changed the theme. Among the pages closed down are We Want the Five-Star Movement in Government. Oh, boy, you can't say that. Which had 129,000 followers and 700,000 interactions in 3 months. Beppo Grillo for president. Lega Salvini Sirmona, which had 307,000 followers. Lega Salvini, they give the specifics of some of these others. According to the Italian daily La Repubblica, on May 2nd, Facebook opened a war room in Dublin, devoted full time to the European electoral campaign, with 40 teams of engineers, scientists, researchers, threat specialists, and experts for each country. There are 500 people working on the elections with the assistance of 21 supposed fact checkers operating in 14 different languages. This is just outrageous, this censorship. Okay, what do we do about it? Okay, I'd like to, at the risk of repeating myself, but unfortunately I think it is important. We in the, whatever you want to call us, the nationalists, the patriotic, the populist movement, the historical revisionist movement, however you want to term us, we will face increasing persecution because people like Mark Zuckerberg is a Zionist Jew. Committed to censorship. I mean, despite the Facebook and much of the internet being a tremendous opportunity for people to speak, these people are increasingly uncomfortable with the liberty that people have exercised, and as much as possible want to shut people down. Okay, so what do we do about it? First of all, recognize that whatever else they are, Facebook is not devoted to free speech. And, you know, it is using you. Sure, you can join for free. Are they permitting that because they like you or they believe in freedom? No, it's a commercial enterprise. You provide the audience, and they can mine the audience, they can sell access to you through advertising, and it's an audience of tens of millions of people worldwide. So don't think for one moment that Facebook does any of this out of a commitment to freedom or a commitment to you. This is entirely a commercial enterprise. So as a commercial enterprise, they should be regulated, and it strikes me that they would be subject to the sort of regulation that came in the United States during the populist era around the turn of the century, and this would be legislation designed to control monopolies. The idea being that if you have a monopoly, then you are obligated to serve the public. Or perhaps there'd be another way to go about this. Break up the monopolies. Mandate that other platforms, the Facebook's near monopoly should be broken up. One simple piece of legislation, though, and I've heard Donald Trump speak in a general way in this direction. One piece of simple legislation would be to require or to deem outfits like Facebook, PayPal, Google, Twitter, YouTube as monopolies. Or deem them to be public utilities, and as such, because the public utility has a monopoly or for practical purposes a near monopoly, they be required to serve everybody, that they not be allowed to discriminate against people because of their content, because of their views, or who they were. So, for instance, Facebook has recently banned white nationalists, white supremacists, whatever those are, and so on. Well, that would not simply not be allowed. of course, people would be responsible for what they say. You know, if you make libelous comments, then of course, you can be brought to justice for libel. You can be sued for libel. Or, you know, similarly, if you willfully promote, if you directly incite the breaking of the law, you know, for instance, if you say all, let's say, whatever group, people on welfare are evil and parasitical bums, go out and find somebody on welfare and take a baseball bat and beat their brains in. Okay. Again, very hypothetically. That would be actionable. And not actionable by Facebook, but by actionable by police or in a court of law. That's what ought to be. What I urge people to do is to talk up these ideas. No, we're not going to bring down Facebook tomorrow. But I think we must do everything possible to try to do that, to bring Facebook under control. So, and I also urge those people on our side of the fence that have a lot of technical ability to start working on or continue. I know this has already begun, working on alternatives to Facebook. We've got an alternative to Twitter, and that's called Gab. There are some alternatives to YouTube, one of them being BitChute. None of these are absolutely perfect, but we've got to use the technology to let freedom prevail. And let us be quite clear. This is all about freedom, and I think we should never lose an opportunity to highlight that, and to curse and denounce outfits like Facebook for censorship. Let's be quite blunt. Call it what it is. It's censorship, you know, I think it's extremely important that be denounced at every possible opportunity. This is a show I did recently with Brian Rue, and hope you like it. This is about the persecution of Dr. James Sears and Your War News, a Canadian case. Persecuted by the Canadian government and by the behest of various Jewish groups.
Now, I know that the left is going to crucify me for even talking to you, Mr. Frum. Very, very infamous reputation among, you know, politically correct circles, because you tell the hard truth. Now, we're here at a speaking engagement for Peter Sayers, one of the publisher and editors of Your War News, a clear example of satire. There is no way when you look at that could you take it as official news, great propaganda to those who watch CNN and other supposedly neutral news sources when it's completely slanted towards the left. Mr. Frum, we got here late, and obviously, Mr. Sayers had to split. What could you tell us about the event tonight?
Okay, well, Dr. Sayers spoke at the beginning, and this is all about freedom of speech and freedom of the press. And I come from a literary background. It's also about freedom of literature. You know, it kind of just sinks deeper and deeper into cultural Marxism, and we become more and more pathetic. Here we are banning a satirical publication. People with long memories will remember publications like Mad Magazine and
that was exactly
National Enquirer, National Lampoon. They're satire. It's jokes. It's funny. It's not meant to be taken as a political manifesto. Anyway, what has happened is after a lot of agitation, took 3 years various cultural Marxist groups, the various Jewish groups, managed to get the to pressure the Ontario Attorney General, the previous one, the Muslim Mr. Nakvi, under the lesbian premier, to charge your ward news under the hate law, section 319 of the Criminal Code, for willfully promoting hatred against women and Jews. We had hoped for better from the Ford government. We and the Ontario Civil Liberties Association pressured the new Attorney General, Kathleen Mulrooney, to Mulrooney, but basically the same policy. Anyway, we were to drop three outstanding so-called hate charges. One would be against Your Ward News, one was against Kevin J. Johnston, and one was against Pastor Bill Watcott. They refused. All three are going to go ahead. So anyway, the Your Ward News charge was launched in November of 2017. It got to court in December. A guilty verdict was brought down, which will be appealed, and the sentencing was yesterday, Friday the 26th. Well, like so much in Canadian courts, it was a bit anticlimactic. The judge reserved on sentencing of the editor, Dr. James Sears, until May 31st. The publisher is a Métis or Aboriginal. He has to have a special sentencing hearing, which will take into account his Aboriginal background. Well, that's going to postpone things further. He will be sentenced sometime in June. But yesterday was very dramatic. The Crown wants a year. They want the maximum. So that's 6 months, which is the maximum, on the two counts to be served consecutively. So that would add up to a year. A year in prison for writing, for doing satirical cartoons and jokes. I mean, that we have so deteriorated as a country. That's the sort of thing you'd expect in a banana republic. So that's what the Crown wanted. Mr. Sears' lawyer pointed out that the case law would suggest a conditional discharge, which means basically, you committed an offense, but goodbye. But James Sears had what he called an allocution, which would be an address to the judge, which is 62 pages long, which would have taken him a couple of hours to read. The judge wasn't going to hear that, but he allowed Sears to maybe summarize the key points. And what the main argument Dr. Sears made was this: Your Ward News, because it's fun and satirical, serves as a safety valve. And he had specific examples. He had a blind man who was brought into the court, and this blind man had been blinded by an incompetent ophthalmologist a few years ago who botched a surgery, and he already had one eye blind. Well, this blinded him in the second eye. The man was so distraught, and nobody would listen to him. He complained to the College of Physicians and Surgeons. They weren't interested. He complained to the media. Nobody wanted to hear his story. So he was planning to get acid and try to find that doctor and throw acid in his face to blind him. And when Dr. Sears did his story in Your Ward News, he finally had hope. Finally, there's somebody who listened to him. And that's basically what a lot of people want. Mm-hmm. They want to be listened to. And so now he, the blind man, hands out copies of Your Ward News with his article to passers-by. And Sears gave a number of other examples of people who are very angry because of something that's happened, and they're ignored. There's one Palestinian fellow whose cousin was badly crippled by an Israeli sniper. Nobody's interested. And he wanted to go and do some damage to a synagogue. And Sears convinced him, look, I'll tell you a story. And the fellow has now decided a peaceful protest is a far better way to go. So, and that's also happening with some people that are called incels, you know, that involuntarily celibate. They have nobody who listens to them. They're considered losers or not cases. And Dr. Sears speaks up for them. Gives them a form. And see, that, as you know from the work you do with Yellow Vests and other movements, they increasingly want to marginalize us. The papers, if they mention you at all, you know, you're white supremacists, you're run by neo-Nazis, or the usual collection of lies. Mm-hmm. And they lie about us all. Mm-hmm. You know, when people meet me, I don't live up to the image of somebody with horns and a tail. That's what they want. They know that people like Sears and Yellow Vest and other people would make a good impression if people were ever allowed to hear them, instead of simply being demonized and
shut down.
And I know that what's happening here with Euro War News, with the Yellow Vest movement, has really spooked the powers that be. When our worst dressed woman in the House of Commons, our Foreign Affairs Minister, Chrystia Freeland, her mommy shouldn't have let her out of the House of Leashes, tells the United Nations that the biggest security threats to the West are Islamophobia and white supremacy. Where are the white supremacists? Islamophobia, it seems to me, it was those characters that massacred over 300 Christians in Colombo last Sunday. It wasn't white supremacists. The people who are concerned about radical Islam are on the right track. There is a problem there. But our political elite are absolutely terrified by the resistance they see building. I'm very impressed with the Yellow Vest movement that Saturday after Saturday since November in cities across Canada, they're out there, and the politicians know that most of previous protests pretty much blow their load after one protest. Mm-hmm. One big protest, yeah, we saved the country, but people are now realizing this is going to be a long fight, and I think they're finally up against populist forces that really worry them, because they know their rotten immigration system that they've imposed upon us is built on lies, and once people begin to see that, this thing is going to fall apart, and they're worried. And I think that's why they're basically talking, they say right-wing people are conspiracy theorists. The conspiracy nonsense that's coming out of the government is a joke. But that kind of brings us back to Euro War News. Dr. Sears is absolutely unafraid of going to jail. He doesn't want to go to jail, but he says Euro War News or its work will continue. Whether it will be as the paper Your War uses or something else, Sears is not going to go away, and they're worried about people like that. People are not afraid to are not afraid of the system.
People that don't roll over easy.
Who don't roll over. So you're going to hear a lot more from him, and I'm very proud to have stood with him. And we had a courtroom full of people yesterday, and we had a number of people who are East Indian who admire what he's doing. We have a reporter in from Japan. We have people from the United States. There is world attention on what's going on here and on what a pathetic mess our cultural Marxist elite has made of things. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you, cultural Marxism, it's showing up now. The thought police,
the brown shirts,
the group thing.
Antifa, look at Pegida. Come to the next Pegida, May
4th. Marxist.ca.
You can't think, unless you think the way the Marxists think, they're going to come after you. Would this be a bad or incorrect statement? Or are we actually seeing this happen?
And obviously, I mean, studying, I'm a man of history, a real history, not revisionist, politically correct history. You see the signs, the thought police, the speech police, the demonization in order to justify what action they may take next against their political opposition.
And let's remember, much of corporate Canada and the U.S. are not our friends. The purges that have been inflicted on people like Faith Goldie, and a group of nationalist people in Canada, off Facebook, and they have actually banned a whole ideology. They say we're banning white supremacists. Well, actually, banning white nationalism too. Well, they're all terrorism. Mm-hmm. They're like two different things. White supremacy is wanting to push our ways in other countries. I think most of us just want our country for ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's white nationalism. And terrorism, that's a different thing altogether. So they ban a whole ideology. But you can be a communist on Facebook
and make a very good living.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about people with white skin and they're nationalists. What would the majority of Hungarians be that live in Hungary?
Well, they're a lot of ducks. They're actually Aryans or Indo-Europeans, but their language is not an Indo-European language.
But they are white-skinned.
They're white-skinned, yeah.
They are nationalists.
They're nationalists.
Which would make them according to the left, terrorists.
Well, we can go all the way. What about Japan, right? Japan doesn't take in a lot of Middle Eastern and Third World, you know, African refugees. That's cultural protectionism. Is that racist?
I had a very interesting conversation in Japan. Well, I've had a lot of interesting conversations, but I was pretending to be a North American cultural Marxist just to have some fun. I said, well, you know, wouldn't Japan be a lot better if you had, say, 10 million Africans and maybe 10 million from the Middle East and 10 million from Latin America? And my hosts are looking at me. Has he hit the sake too hard? I mean, they want to be polite. They don't want to say you're crazy. Finally, one man answered me with a single sentence. He was trying to process what I told him. He said, but then we wouldn't be Japanese. Yeah. I thought, bingo, that's exactly our answer too. With the sort of massive population replacement that's being imposed upon us.
Go ahead, that's fine, we can edit.
It's not that we hate anybody, but if they keep doing this to us or we become a minority, we won't be Canadian anymore.
No.
So that's the issue. Sometimes it takes some of the people who came out to support Dr. Sears were East Indians, one guy's a Sri Lankan. They understand what, or they're trying to understand what freedom's about, and they're worried about the loss of freedom. Whereas, you know, if all you read was the opposition, they say, oh, your world news is racist, sexist, homophobic, blah, 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 blah.
Terror.
Many people don't see it that way.
Like, sorry, one more thing that I'd want to talk about, not necessarily the demonization of conservative, right-leaning political opposition, but talking about the dangers of speech that may escalate into violence. That's what they're going on right now. So they have to police speech, just like guns may be used as bad. Our words may radicalize somebody, and they might do like a Christchurch shooting.
Well, yeah. might is not a legal argument. Anything might happen.
Yes.
Yes.
But on the other side, on the other side of the equation, Middle Easterners that are believing this left-wing propaganda are saying, wow, our brothers and sisters in North America are having this big problem with these evil white supremacists. Wouldn't that possibly amp up violence coming from other groups, not necessarily nationals?
It could. I think the thing is that there is a law already against advocating the breaking of the law. So if I walk out of here and say to a group of people, I hate those folks over there, pick up, you know, whatever weapon you have at hand and go and beat their heads in. I've already broken the law. That's advocating the commission of a crime. Mm-hmm. If I say these people are a pain in the neck and you know, here are the issues, that's not breaking the law. What they want to do is conflate any criticism as the next step is terrorism. Mm-hmm. In fact, as Dr. Sears was pointing out, if there's vigorous debate and discussion, there's much less likely to be violence. Mm-hmm. It's only when shut up your mouth. That people say, well, what the heck, if I'm going to go to jail for opening my mouth, I may as well go to jail for,
yeah,
let's say, punching somebody out to be nice about it.
Well, and we see that being systematic. CBS, with their It's Okay to Punch a Nazi.
Yeah,
they're actually promoting
a TV show.
Unprovoked.
And that is advocacy. You're talking about the attacks on freedom of speech. I noticed that the number one anti-free speech, anti-racist site, the anti-racist Canada, mm-hmm, was boasting that they had gotten a GoFundMe program shut down for a woman who had apparently been fined $10,000. I mean, their ability to meddle in people's affairs, and I come back to the problem we've got with big businesses like. Like Facebook and YouTube and PayPal and so on, we've got to let them know that when times change, they're going to be punished for attacking free speech. Mm-hmm. In fact, Donald Trump's even suggested using the Anti-Combines Act against them. They should be treated like utilities. Mm-hmm. Your electrical company can't say, well, you're a supporter of Pegida. We won't give you electricity. I mean, they've got to serve you. If you've got the money, they've got to serve you.
Well, it's discrimination.
Outfits like Facebook, I mean, they make gazillions of dollars from the advertising. I mean, we're the people who are subscribers are the people who provide the market for them to sell advertising. Mm-hmm. So they should not be allowed to discriminate. We've got to get that idea out there that we're not going to forget. And when times change, and they will change, there's going to be payback. You know, these people are cowards. Mm-hmm. And right now, they don't think we have much power. And perhaps we don't, not today, but we will. And, you know, payback's a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, historically, with all this cultural Marxism, we keep hearing diversity, 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 unity, all this crap, right? When has diversity ever worked?
It hasn't. Diversity is the Tower of Babel. And yeah. You see, I was mentioning that to my Japanese friends.
How about the Roman times? Sorry to interrupt. The Roman times, wasn't diversity a great thing?
Well, they had diversity, and Rome gradually degenerated and collapsed. Mm-hmm. The original tough peasant stock that built the Roman Empire gradually became more degenerate. There was a lot of mixing, the final inhabitants of Rome didn't really see themselves as Romans. What was there to fight for? Mm-hmm. And that's what I've tried to explain diversity to other groups of people, and virtually nobody in the world buys it. They don't buy it in China. They don't buy it in Japan. They know it's a crock. And most people here know it's a crock. I mean, even in very diverse schools, you know, the white kids sit with the white kids, the blacks sit with the blacks, and so on.
Tribalism.
People want to be with their own people.
Personally, I'm offended because I consider myself a unique individual. Apparently, there's no one else on the planet like me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been brainwashed to think that we're all the same. Do you want to comment on that?
No, we're gloriously not the same. We're not equal, and we're not the same. And that's the joy of being even with our own people. I mean, the Europeans are the most diverse people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We have redheads and brunettes and blondes and grays and you know, we have more diversity within the European people than any other people. We don't need to import people from the four corners of the earth and then tell them they can keep their culture and then try to build a country of this. It's not going to work.
Now, if we're all the same, a fish is the same as a tiger. So whatever a fish eats, tiger should be able to survive on the same food.
Yes.
They should be able to communicate with each other. Mm-hmm. They should be able to live in the same ecosystem, the same habitat. And they should be the same because they're, what's the key word I'm looking for here again?
They're all the same.
Yeah, this is the lie that we're being sold, and our kids are being taught that.
Yeah, what's going on in the education system is a disgrace, a disaster, and that's why, where possible, parents should consider homeschooling their children.
Oh yeah.
And I say that as a former educator, so I know the system, and it's so hard if you're a parent to keep on top of what your kids are learning and to constantly try to refute things. And you know, it varies from school to school, but I know of elementary schools in Toronto where there is just like wall-to-wall LGBTQ posters. So these kids at the impressionable age where they're just on the edge of puberty are getting propaganda like it doesn't matter who you love. Your husband can be a he or a she.
You can be an he
bombarded,
or she.
Just bombarded from such an early age.
I mean, it's the perverted curriculum that was introduced by the lesbians government is appalling. Parents should be rioting that this crap is being forced on their kids.
I don't think parents actually see it.
No, well, they don't know it was Ben Levin. They don't know it was a convicted child pornographer that created it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. Yeah. Parents have never darkened their school's doors. Yeah. But I do know parents who do regularly visit the school and sneak out the pictures.
Yeah.
And that's only in that area. But that's not even the area of history and that type of thing where a lot of our kids are being told that the white race is the cancer of history. All we ever did was, you know, mm-hmm. enslave the blacks and rape the environment and rip off the native people and various other things.
Well, and I mean, in terms of winding people up, yeah, a person who maybe doesn't have a network, doesn't have a patriot group or another alternative media group that they can feel they belong to, you know, they're a part of, they end up becoming an isolated lone wolf with all of this anti-rape, anti-white, anti-male propaganda that's from every direction, mm-hmm. they're going to get wound up.
So, while that's the bad side, the good side is that There is so much good material, like what we're doing today on the internet. I'm meeting a lot of younger people, I'd say that's 18 to 35, who are really tuned in. They know stuff. It's not because of education or their church or, in most cases, their family, certainly not the rotten media. They're self-taught because of what's on the internet. And they're great videos, all sorts of great videos. So I have a lot of hope for some of these young people who are living in a diverse society and know it's a lie. That some of their parents can live in a somewhat isolated area, yet they don't really have to deal with the invasion on a day-to-day basis very much. But the young people are right in the heart of the beast, and a lot of them know that they're being lied to.
Can I ask you, do you think the name Ontario Human Rights Tribunal is at all accurate of what they do?
No, they're a human wrongs tribunal, and whenever you hear of a human rights tribunal, you're dealing with an organization that is essentially anti-white, completely contrary to our interests.
Oh,
the best thing we could do is abolish every single human rights commission in the country.
Or let's call a spade a spade.
Let's just look at the UN human rights and how Saudi Arabia is.
Or how about the Marxist Rights Tribunal? Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
It's all Marxism. Anyway, we could probably talk for hours, Mr. Fromm, but thank you for the interview.
Thank you very much for having me.
And I love the fact that you're keeping up with Yellow Vest activities. We look forward to many more speaking engagements we can take part in.
Yeah, I know. Many more times where we can get together.
Oh, definitely.
That was an interview I did with some of the people from the Yellow Vest movement a short while ago. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. I'm going to take my musical break right now, and what shall we have today? There's so many good things to choose from. Here's a great one by a beautiful blonde country and western singer, Rhonda Vincent, "When the Grass Grows Over Me." This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com.
When you left, even tell myself that I'd find somebody to. Time and tears have come and gone, but not your memory. For I'll be over you when the grass grows high. Standing over me, and as you look down at the cold, cold ground I'm sleeping in, don't expect to hear me say that I still love you, dear. Oh, when the grass grows over me, thank you. bent to hear me say that I still love you, dear. Or I'll be over you when the grass grows up. Grass grows over me.
Yeah. Mike Johnson on the steel guitar. Awesome, Mike.
These clips are great, but and to see what country legacy live.
And I do love the steel guitar. I certainly agree with that. This is another one with Ron Vincent, Bright Lights and Country Music. And just can't say enough about the importance of the steel guitar and the fiddle in traditional country, which is a type I really like the best.
I love those bright lights and country music. Sit around and cry tonight like every night before. I just learned that I don't really need you anymore. I found a little place downtown where girls like me can go. They've got bright lights and country music. A bottle and a glass. Soon I'll be forgetting that there ever was a past. And when everybody asks me just how I forget so fast, I'll say right. Table by the bandstand, a bottle filled with wine. Honky tonks were made for girls with loving on their mind. Nothing else can take away this loneliness of mine. White light, bright lights, and country music.
Rhonda Vincent. Here's another one with Rhonda Vincent, and this is A Picture of Me Without You. That was first done, I think, by Laurie Morgan and Keith Whitley, her husband, who died so young and so tragically. This is Gerald Singletary and Rhonda Vincent, Picture of Me Without You, and this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on White Resistance Radio.
Imagine a world where no music was playing. think of a church where nobody's praying. If you've ever looked up at a sky with no blue, then you've seen a picture of me without you. Or have you walked in a garden where nothing was growing? Or stood by a river where nothing was flowing? Kissed by the dew, then you've seen a picture of me without you. Can you picture heaven with no angels singing, or quiet Sunday morning with no church bells ringing? If you've watched as the heart of the child breaks in two, then you've seen a picture of me without you. Then you've seen a picture of me without you. Without you.
That's Ron Glinson. Here's another song with Rhonda. I'm Not Over You. And this is... Rhonda Vincent, and I think it's other members of her family. Yeah, her brother Darren and her mother Carolyn. I'm not quite sure. We do have our problems, don't we? Here's Ronald Vincent with their mother, Slippers, with Slippers with Wings. This is Rhonda Vincent and her mother, Carolyn Vincent. They're a very musical family. And waiting to get that up here. And she, with her band, The Rage, Carolyn Vincent.
I recently joined Darren and I on for Country's Family Reunion. Has anybody seen Kim? A few advanced copies of that out here too, and so she joined us, and we got to. It's exactly what it said. It's the newest episodes of the Country's Family Reunion, and it features kinfolk: Larry Gatlin, the Gatlin brothers, the Lennon sisters from right here in Branson, and the Forrester sisters, the Bellamy brothers. Every person that was there was family, and we also got to sing. Darren and I got to sing with Jeannie Kendall, who also lives here. I didn't realize she lived in Branson, but so Mom comes down to join us. And on that particular day, she received this song that I'm going to ask her to sing for you right now. How was it? Because I called Dad after this day and I said, Dad, Mom's a movie star now. She's moving to Nashville. She better not.
She said it was pitiful.
Well, she received one of only three standing ovations for that day. And this is an incredible group of people. And this was always our most requested song. And so I want to ask her to sing it for you right now. One called Slippers with Wings.
Susie was three when she first blessed our home. We loved her as much as a child of ours.
on the playground nearby. They call Susie's name. She waved and said hi. But her little tears would leave a window stain. It wasn't like her Susie to complain. She would say,
a great song. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow. Same time, midnight Eastern time. The show is repeated at 8 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. All those are Eastern Standard Time. I sign up tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Thank you.